Glory to God. Let's ask the Lord to bless the word as we hear it this morning, that we be encouraged by the word of God and learn something. That's a good idea. Praise the Lord. Father, we are so thankful for what you are doing. We are thankful for this assembly. We're thankful for the word of God that goes forth. And we are praising you, Father, for your faithfulness to us. And we're thankful for new people that are coming in, dear Father. We're just glorifying you, Lord, because we love you and we want to please you, Father. That's our whole aim. And Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will bless this word of God to our hearts today and help us, Lord. Just encourage us, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God is good. All right. Praise the Lord. So we're going to talk this morning about the importance of faith. And I think all of you here, if I ask you how important is faith, you're going to find out you're not going to get anything from God without faith. But you know what's so wonderful, before we even go into this message, the scripture, you know, teaches us that we learn the word. When we learn the word, our faith is increased. Faith is given to us by the Lord as we learn and we listen to the word of God preached, that grows in us. As we read the word of God and we believe this, you know, faith in God grows. And I know that all of you have had terrific trials in your life. I've had many, many trials in my life, and I've told you of some of them. I've lost a child. I've lost a grandson. I have had my husband sick most of our married life. All of those things, but God was always there. He was always so faithful to us. He gave me faith. He gave my husband faith. But I'm telling you, the Lord will do that for you. So what does the scripture say? I think it's Romans 5:17. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. So if you've got a trial today and you're thinking, I don't have faith for that, or I'm concerned maybe I won't get through this, that's the enemy. That's the enemy talking. It's not the Lord. The Lord gives us faith, and he gives us more and more faith. It's sort of like an exercise, you know. We exercise, the muscle grows. As we exercise faith, it's going to grow. We're going to have more faith today than we did yesterday, than we had the day before. God is so faithful. Hallelujah. He's faithful, and he gives that to us. Isn't that precious? So in the Word of God, faith is only mentioned two times in the Old Testament. Isn't that interesting? I like to look up this stuff, you know, so that's, you're going to hear me say those kind of things. But there is a word in the Old Testament that is used, and it, I'll give you those two times that faith is used, but it is trust. The word trust, T-R-U-S-T, trust. How many times do you think trust in God is mentioned in the Old Testament? What do you think? How about 107 times? Is that enough? I mean, he doesn't say faith, but he says trust. And he really emphasizes that. Praise the Lord. So, In the Bible, Deuteronomy 32:20, and you don't need to turn there, it says there that the children of Israel, and that was the 10 tribes, you know, the Israelites split, and there were 10 tribes in one group, and they didn't follow the Lord. They just split. Then there was Judah and Benjamin that got together, and they followed the Lord longer. They went out too, but that's the way it is. So in that, it says there that the children of Israel, those 10 tribes, were children in whom were no faith. No faith. That's a bad situation. We are human beings, aren't we? And we must have faith in God. We cannot do anything in ourselves. I think everybody here can say, yeah, that's true. I can't do anything in myself. Every time I try my best to do something or other that's going to please God, then I feel like I have failed. And we have, because we're humans. And then another verse is Habakkuk 2:4. It says, the just shall live by faith. The just there is the righteous person. In the Old Testament, there were people who really loved God. There were a lot of people of the Jews that were far from God, you know. But we could name people like Moses and Joshua and David and different ones from the Old Testament that were really wonderful men of God and women of God, women who trusted in God. And they lived by faith. See, so those two references in the Old Testament are the only times faith is mentioned. Now, the word trust, we said, has been mentioned 107 times. So the Lord wants us to trust, doesn't he? Now, here's one of them. Psalm 37:5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. That word commit in the Hebrew means roll it. Roll it over on the Lord. We go around carrying the load on our shoulders. But he says, roll this thing that you're carrying over on the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Have you ever had that happen? I have. I've had it happen that I prayed and I trusted, and it happens a lot now since I'm older and I forget where things are. And I pray a lot. I pray, Lord, show me, help me. And right there, the Lord's just right there. I think he sends his angel to do that. So we commit. We roll our way onto the Lord, and we trust in him. And he is going to bring whatever it is that we need to pass. And Psalm 52:8 says, I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. That's what David said. I trust in the mercy of God. Mercy. That's what God shows us all the time is mercy. Otherwise, we wouldn't even be alive. But he is a merciful God, the scripture says. In the Old Testament, also Deuteronomy 1:32, it says, God says of Israel, ye did not believe me. They did not believe him when he told them to do things, or he told them what he was going to do for them. So even as belief in the Old Testament is mentioned and not much faith, that word, God expected them to believe him. And faith is the same today. Faith is believing. Believing God. The devil is always around causing doubt in our mind. You know, something happens, especially in your, you know, you've got a matter you've got to trust God about for sure. It's really, really difficult. Turn with me to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. This chapter of Hebrews is what we call the faith chapter. Because in this chapter, the Apostle Paul, who wrote this book, names many people of God from the Old Testament that walked in faith. And so that's what we're going to look at. And we're going to talk about those who walked in faith. Notice in verse 1, when you get there, Hebrews 11, verse 1, is what we want to read. And I know I probably preached on this before, but I felt it led for us to do this. In many of these verses, I would pray that you would go through there and read this whole chapter. Because by faith, so-and-so happened. By faith, so-and-so happened. This happened because of faith. It goes over and over and over all the way through the chapter about how their faith in God. Now, faith, we're going to find out what it is in verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we have to expound a little bit, because when it says it's a substance, that is something we can pick up. The word substance, that's what it means, something you can pick up. This glass right here. There's substance to that. I'm holding it. See? Okay, so the Lord wants us to exercise faith by trusting in him that he's going to work things out. He's going to help us. And so we, by faith, believe. This is a glass. I know it's a glass. See? Okay. It's the thing hope for. Now, that doesn't mean that God just expects us to, hope things are going to be better. I hope maybe. That's not what the word means at all here. The word hope here, it means to be confident and expectant. And that's very, very hard. We are to look forward to receiving. That's what it means. If you pray for something, it won't work if you don't have faith. And then we think, how can I have faith? I'm just so disturbed. Everything's going wrong and I don't have any faith. We cry out to the Lord. We say, Lord, give me the faith. Give me the faith to believe you. And you know what is so amazing is he does. He does. He picks us up and he gives us assurance. And he says, believe me, believe me. And he gives us oftentimes scriptures for us to rest upon. And then verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. All of the elders that he's going to mention in this chapter, he's talking about the people of God who went through trials, who went through tests, and they were victorious. And so all of those people from the Old Testament that we look at their lives and we see how sometimes they were so mistreated. The three Hebrew children were thrown into the fiery furnace. Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. Apostle Paul was thrown into the prison. Doesn't look like God was helping them very much. Where was their faith, we could say? They had faith. They were in the situation, and they were honoring God and faithful. The elders obtained a good report with God by their faith, that they believed God no matter what the circumstance was. And I know that everybody here has had circumstances. Not one of you has not had a bad circumstance where you wondered how on earth you were going to get through. There's only one way, and that is just falling on the grace of God and having faith in him. He is going to help us, that is for sure. Now go ahead to verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now this is an interesting verse. Of course, all of them are interesting, but the word worlds actually should be interpreted ages. Ages. So what ages have we had since the beginning? We first had the time of Adam and Eve. It was called the age of innocence. And then we had the age of conscience. And then we had the age of, I can't remember them all now that I'm trying to recite them. All of those different ones, the age, later the age of law. Now we're in the age of grace. One of these days, Jesus is going to come back and establish his kingdom. It'll be the age of the kingdom. All of those things. So, through faith, we understand that the ages were framed. In other words, God has planned it all. It's planned. That's why that here we go along with Abraham, and then, you know, these things happen, and then suddenly he's off the scene, and then we're into this other age. God's ages are being worked out. We're watching for the coming of Jesus Christ. And if you look around you and see the news and hear the news, I hope every one of you realize that you're seeing end time events. It's just getting worse. It's getting worse. But Jesus Christ is coming very, very soon. Oh, praise the Lord. So, by faith we understand that the ages were framed by the word of God. God only had to say, this will happen now. This will take place now. One of these days he's going to say to his son, go, son. It's time. Go. Get your people. Bring them back. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That means the things that are visible. you and I can look around. We can say, okay, it doesn't look like God is here today. It's raining and pouring today, and maybe ice is falling, and the cars are getting all bent up, and where's God, you know? That's our reasoning, our natural reasoning. But, oh, praise the Lord. So that things which are seen were not made by the things which do appear. Our victory is not made by how we feel. It's not made by what's going out there in the world. Our victory is through the Word of God and through our Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit giving us courage and giving us strength and keep on going regardless. Keep on going regardless. Praise the Lord. God is so good. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. So, verse 3, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. We're going to go back to the book of Genesis. Let's go to the third chapter of the book of Genesis. Might be number 4 even. Adam and Eve, they had two sons. Of course, they sinned there in the garden, and God had to put them out of the garden. So they are, we do want to go to the fourth chapter of Genesis. They are put out of the garden, and they have to grow their own food. They have to take care of sheep and to supply food for themselves. God told them it was going to be hard because they had sinned in the garden. And he put them out. Okay, so in chapter 4 of the book of Genesis, glory to God. It says that by, in our text back there in Hebrews 11, by it the elders obtained a good report. So this is one of the good reports that it tells us about of dear old Abel. Abel, by faith, and I want to impress this on you, 16 times in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, it says, by faith. I think that's impressive, don't you? It's an impress that's impressive. It should be something that we think about all the time. It's easy for us in our tests and trials to not think with faith because we're humans. So we're going to read here in chapter 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in a process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Notice the difference in these boys. Abel being a keeper of the sheep, we know that he had a different attitude, didn't he? He loved these animals. He took care of them. And another thing we know from this text is that he knew exactly what to do as far as an offering. God had shown Adam and Eve how to offer, and that was in the 21st verse of chapter 3 when he was putting them out of the garden. It says, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins, and he clothed them. So he clothed them with sheepskins, no doubt. And he told them, I know he did, it doesn't say that, but I know he did. Because God doesn't expect things from us that we don't know anything about. And I'm sure that God said to them, this is what I want you to do. I want you to offer offerings before the Lord. And so Abel, he was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. You can see that, can't you? Bringing his prime vegetables, his beautiful things that he had grown, and offering them to God. No blood. That's the mistake. See, God had brought it about that they would offer animals as sacrifices unto God. It was brought back here in this this plainly seen that that's what Abel knew, that it was a thing that God would appreciate and God would take. And so verse 4, Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock. Now that's interesting, the firstlings. That means the best of what he had. You know, that was what was required of the children of Israel. It was, they were not to offer the old sheep that was half dead, that maybe already had a bunch of babies already and she's about to die anyway, so let's take her to the Lord. That wasn't the case in God's way for Israel. And so I'm sure that this was one of the best animals that he had of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. God said, oh, it's a beautiful picture of my son, the Lamb of God, that's going to come down and die for the sins of the world when that time comes. And Abel did that. Verse 5, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. God did not respect the offering of Cain because there was no blood. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Oh my, he was so mad. He was so mad at everybody. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now the word sin there, it actually should read, a sin offering lies at the door. What kind of little animal would be laying at the door? The sheep. A sheep. He could have had an offering for God that would have been a blood offering. And God has given him a second chance, saying, here, use the little sheep that's at the door. Go ahead and offer this little lamb to me, and I will forgive you for not knowing how to do what you're supposed to do. That's a God of love, you see, that's making a provision for him to have this. And then as Cain talked with God in with Abel, let's look at that, verse 8. Cain talked with Abel. It doesn't say talk to God, does it? God was talking to him, but he didn't answer him back, did he? He was so determined he was going to do what he was going to do. Such a rebellious attitude and hatred in his heart. So he talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? Think God didn't know? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And you could see he would probably said that with a lot of sarcasm. Who do you think I am? My brother's keeper? I can see that. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. And he told him, when you till the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. Isn't that interesting that he was the farmer person and he wanted to present his beautiful stuff to the Lord. And the Lord says, okay, that your punishment is going to be that you will not be able to raise anything. You're going to have a hard time getting along because you have done this thing. It's interesting that God did not slay Cain, but he sent him away, as it says in verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And so there he had children, and doesn't record that he ever turned to God or repented or anything. So go back to Hebrews 11 again. And we just want to talk some more about how it's all by faith. It's by faith that we receive the things of God. Glory to God. Cain's offering. He showed that he was a man of the earth. He was a hard worker. He wanted to be rewarded for that, but the Lord was not pleased with his offering. Praise God. Abel's offering was the one that was accepted. He brought the firstling rather than something that he'd toiled for. He brought the firstborn lamb, giving a sacrifice to God that was a blood sacrifice. In Hebrews 9:22, it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And in other words, there's no pardon for sins. There's no freedom from sin without the shedding of blood. So, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was the Lamb of God and still is called the Lamb of God all throughout the book of Revelation. Praise the Lord. He shed his blood that we might have the pardon and the freedom from sin, that word remission means. Praise the fat that covered the entrails of the animal. You think, you know, when I have an animal or a piece of meat or something that's got a lot of fat on it, I don't care much about that. I don't want that fat. You know, I'm sure that you have that same attitude, unless you like fat. My dad would eat anything, I think. I saw him eat fat a lot. But in the book of Leviticus, it tells us over and over again that the Lord loves the fat of the animal. That was part of their, big part of their offering. They were to take the fat and offer that to God. Isn't that something? Praise the Lord. And so Abel, back there in verse 4 of chapter 11, he got a witness, a testimony from God. He obtained a witness that he was righteous, that he was the one who knew God. It was by faith. The importance of faith. You can't be saved without faith. And what else? We can't do anything hardly without faith. We have to daily have faith. We walk by faith and not by sight, the scripture says. We look around us and things are bad right now. The economy is bad. The devil will make you think about it. He does me once in a while. The thought will come to my mind, but what will happen if we don't have any more money, if whatever, you know. It's just the devil. He's nothing truthful. He's a liar. And so don't believe him. Praise the Lord. We obtain the witness from the Lord that we are his righteous children, that we are his children, the people of his, the sheep of his pasture, he says. And he testifies of his gifts to us. And by it, he being dead yet speaks. So even Abel, though, testified of his gifts of believing in God. And we, too, follow the Lord and by faith believe in the Lord Jesus for everything that comes, everything that happens. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I wrote lots of notes. You know that. So I'm not going to preach the whole sermon because it would be 12:30 before I'm finished. But I wrote down this, that God was speaking to them, and I'm sure that God had explained to them how to sacrifice to him. I'm sure that he had told them that. He wouldn't expect for Cain to know how without knowing, anybody telling him. But see, Abel laid hold of what God said and did what God said. And that's what faith does for us. Praise the Lord. Praise God. So the emphasis is on the son with faith, Abel. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. In Matthew 23, you don't need to turn, but verse 34 through 35, it says, and upon you may come all the blood shed from the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel. Righteous Abel. Abel was a just man who believed in God. And even though his life was short, he walked with God his whole life. Isn't that a beautiful thing? He walked by faith. He knew what God wanted, and he obeyed. He didn't just say, well, God wants that, but goodness, it's a lot of trouble, and I think maybe we just won't do that today. He believed, and he walked and did what God said. That's really important. In 1 John 3:11, it says, this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that you should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's were righteous. Imagine, that's happened throughout history, that people who love God got persecuted. And even recent, more recent history. So Abel's offering and all the offerings of the Old Testament, looking forward, all of them were looking forward to Christ, the offering that he would bring, the one and only sacrifice that God would accept. There are people today that think if they do certain things, then God's going to have to save them, you know. But our salvation is based upon what Christ did, not what we do, but Christ. Of course, we have to receive him by faith. In the fourth verse of chapter 11 of Hebrews there, he says, let's see, I don't have the right verse. The one that says, I show you a more excellent way. Yes, that's it. Verse 4. Unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. A more excellent. More excellent. What does that mean? It means that it was of better quality. It was above everything. It exceeded everything. Because why? Why? Why did it matter? Because it was specified by God. It was specified by God that it had to be a blood sacrifice. That was the plan. From before eternity, in eternity before the world was ever created, the plan was made by the blood sacrifice. That was how redemption would take place. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ with his beautiful, beautiful sacrifice. He received witness that he was righteous. That's how Abel did. He followed God, and he knew that he was righteous. What does that mean? That means when God looks at us, he sees Jesus Christ in our life. And it's the word in the Greek means upright or right standing with God or innocent or holy. Why? Is it because we're so nice? So because I have such good manners, or because I'm just a sweet person and everybody should think I'm great? No, we know that's not true, is it? It's because of the blood of the sacrifice, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that where he sacrificed on the cross for us. Praise the Lord. Faith, what does it mean? Faith means assurance. It means belief. It means to believe. Faith, simply believing in something you can't see. How many of you have ever had a situation like that where you had to have faith? Nobody raised their hand. Brother back there raised his hand. We've had to have faith, don't we? Something you can't see, something you can't feel, something you can't touch, something you can't hear. Sounds like to me it's not going by all of our things that God has given us. We can hear, we can see, you know, to verify what God is going to do. Faith in God gives you hope in desperate times. This is just something I wrote. Encouragement in troubling times. Strength in weak times. Patience in anxious times, and love in hateful times. How many of you have ever had a person that treated you really, really bad? And you just thought, I'm going away from them. I'm never going to speak to them again. And the Lord says, hey, you know, you've got to forgive. I'm going to just give you one more scripture. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. It's so precious that God has given us a mechanism to increase our faith. He didn't just say, y'all down there now, you have more faith. Oh, he could have done that. His great might could have just given us all the faith in the world, you know. But he says, the way you're going to have more faith is through my Word. Hear my word. Hear what God did, what he's going to do. He's a faithful God. He always is. Thank God he raised Brother Jerry up. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes. Praise God.
He did. Hallelujah. And he's going to continue. Hallelujah. God is so good. He's raised our dear brother over here also. He's raised you up, brother. I believe that. It's just wonderful. He's raised Sister up here, Sister Bonnie. He's raised you up because he loves you. See, he wants us to walk by faith and not by our sight. In other words, well, I don't see anything. I don't hear anything, you know. Praise the Lord. I am a victorious person because he gives me the strength and he tells me that I need to walk by faith and not by sight. Praise the Lord.